You know, I really believe in this. And one thing that I've really appreciated is working with these girls, Heidi and Sheila. We've been going quite some time, going door to door into the community. And you should see how hard these girls have worked. If I knew that Heidi was going to share that story, I would have been sharing with you the picture that I took of her when she gave her first Daniel 2 Bible study. Amen? Now, there's a lot of activity in this church. And I'm happy that so many people love serving God in different, diverse ways. And the sermon, the sermon title, if you looked at your bulletin or even up front, you'll see that it's time for the harvest. Amen? It's time for the harvest. And so, I'm happy to be a part of this church where you really do believe in evangelism. Now, why is it time for the harvest? You know what's coming up soon, don't you? We've been announcing it. On February 20th, we know what's going to happen next. We have the Discover Life Bible Prophecy Seminar happening. And it's going to be from February 20th to March 14th. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if you look out in the lobby, our flyers arrived yesterday, and this will be going to the community of series. And it has all the information about what we're going to be going through. Now, let me just show you what we're going to be going through. The first night, we're going to talk about the Bible's flawless prediction and learn how the Bible accurately predicted 2,500 years of Earth's history. And the second night, we're going to talk about the war in heaven. Terrorism, disaster, accidents, tragedy, pain. If God is love, why is there so much suffering? And we're going to answer that. The war in heaven will give satisfactory answers for the origin of evil. And so maybe you've asked that, or you know someone who has asked that. You want to bring them to this series. Can you say amen to that? And we have the third night, Heaven's Most Accurate Prophecy. Discover a precise prophecy of history's greatest figure that will defy skeptics and challenge atheists. And so you can get one of yours, and we're going to have this coming very, very soon. Now, as we talk about the harvest, I want you to consider with me three verses, okay? And we're going to start with John 4, but before we get into reading these verses, why don't we ask for the Holy Spirit to show up, and why don't we pray together? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much that this is your time. And Father, we want to give it all to you, and I pray right now that you send your Spirit here. The message is simple today, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will illumine our minds and open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in John 4, verse 35, this is what Jesus says to disciples. You remember the story about the woman of the well. He said, "Do not say there are still 4 months. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." What is Jesus saying here? When is the time of harvest? Can you tell me? It's right now, isn't it? Right now is the time of harvest. Now I want to show you this next verse. Proverbs 10 verse 5 says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." So should we be sleeping in harvest time? Yes or no? Absolutely not. Look what the next verse says. Romans 13, 11 says, "And do this, knowing the time, that it is what time? It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Do you believe that Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
Do you believe this, friends?
Yes.
Amen. I believe it with all my heart. And now is the time where we get into the bustle activity and where we are not sleeping. But church, we need to awake. We know that salvation is nearer than when we first believed, and we know that there are people who still need to hear the warnings of God. And that is why it is up to you and I to make sure that everyone hears the special message that Jesus has in store for all of us. Amen? Now, last year, I did a very special presentation. And it was called Revelations, Mysteries Revealed. And I held this evangelistic series or this prophecy seminar at the Watsonville Church. Now, it was quite fun. It was my first full-fledged one here in the United States. And it was such a powerful experience. And I've done others. I remember the first time I ever preached an evangelistic series, I was 15 turning 16. 19 sermons. or 21 actually, and I preached it in El Salvador. Then after that, I remember I Bible worked for certain people like Tosh Pakleb. I Bible worked under him for about three or four different times in his evangelistic series. I also Bible worked here with Pastor Neil. I Bible worked in Guam for another for the Union evangelist named Jeff Yulden. And I went and I had all these experiences, and then I went to Guatemala, and I had a series there as well. But this was the first time I was going to have one here in the United States. And at the Watsonville Church, we decided to call it Revelations Mysteries Revealed, and we're going to see what God had to do. And I went to a church where they weren't having very much baptisms for quite a while. And the church members were a little bit afraid about doing evangelism. But I got to teach some of the church members to give Bible studies, and some of the church members were inviting their friends, and we had an awesome experience. And by God's grace, over 20 people made decisions to give their life to Jesus. Amen? Over 20 people, and it was such a powerful experience. I remember this, the time when we went out, and this is us, we went out going outreach, passing out the flyers, a group of us, and we were preparing, and that's myself preaching my heart out. And I remember on the third night, I asked for a decision if anyone wanted to be baptized. I remember the Holy Spirit was impressing me, and to my surprise, 8 people came forward. The third night. And they said, you know what, I want to be ready for baptism. And like I said, we had over 20 decisions. And that person right there in the bottom left, that was my house brother. I lived with his family. And he had so many doubts about God, and he wasn't sure if God could exist. And he was wondering about what is God, and what are all the teachings in this church. And so we started studying, and we started studying consistently. I taught him how to have morning devotions. And by the time the series came, he said, you know what, I want to fully give my life to Jesus. And you know what he's doing right now? He's a co-porter, he's in ministry, and I praise God for that. But he wasn't the only one. There were many others who made decisions for baptism as well. For example, this right here is Gabby. And Gabby was a person who grew up in the Pentecostal church. And she was so confused about speaking in tongues and all these different things. And she saw hypocrisy in her life. And she just did not know what truth was until she came to the series. And she said, Samuel, I'm getting baptized because you've answered every question I've ever had. But not only that, I fell in love with Jesus for the very first time in my life, and now I know I have a real experience with Him. And she decided to get baptized as well. And then there was AP right here, the one right there on the right. And AP, the one right there on the left. AP was someone who knew about the Adventist Church. He never attended one, but he just always would drive on his motorcycle next to Soquel. Do you guys remember where camp meeting is? And he would always drive down there, and he felt impressed sometimes, and he was even invited by someone to go to camp meeting. When he went on his motorcycle, he said, you know, I should go in, but every time he drove on that road, he just went by it. He said, I don't think I can do it. Not today, not today. And he kept putting it off, always putting it off. And he grew up in different Christian churches, but one day he got the flyer in the mail. And he saw that flyer, and he said, I'm going to come to the series. I'm going to check it out. He comes for the very first night, and he tells me he got hooked the very first night. And he came to every single meeting. He did not even miss one. And when he got that flyer, he said, you know what, Samuel, I thank you. I thank you that I got this flyer, and I just thank you that a young man like you could teach an old man like me about Jesus, he said. And then he continued, and at the very end, he got baptized. And you know what's amazing? It doesn't just stop there. I remember going to camp meeting this last year, and guess who I saw in the crowd? I saw AP with his Bible open, enjoying what the Word of God being preached. And now, he's still a faithful member to this day there at the Watsonville Church. Can you say amen to that? And there was this other one right here. This man right here, his name is Adrian. And Adrian was just challenged so much. He said, I want to bring people to the series. And he told me, Samuel, my goal in the series is to bring 15 people to the evangelistic series. Amen? I hope there's some people who say that. Amen? He said, I'm going to bring 15 people to the series. Well, he didn't get 15. He got 4. He brought himself. But you know what happened with those 4? All 4 of them got baptized as well. And not only that, he was rebaptized. And so all of those people that he brought got baptized. Can you imagine, friends, just a simple invitation in coming to a crusade just like this? And you can see someone eternally saved just from a simple invitation. Amen? And so I remember Adrian, he brought a certain someone that I want to speak about next. And just to cover up and to keep him safe, I'm going to call this person Bob, okay? What's his name?
Bob,
all right. So Adrian brought Bob to a Bible study that I was doing. And while he was bringing him and trying to work with Bob, he said, Bob, I really want you to come to the series, but come to this Bible study, check it out. So we had a Friday night Bible study group that I was teaching at. And I remember when Bob came in, and he came inside the house, and I remember his atmosphere. He could not smile for anything. He was just sad and he was despondent. And I remember he would sit alone in the corner in the Bible study and he wouldn't make eye contact. And then he was just angry. And you can see that this man has gone through a lot of stuff. And I remember when I was talking to him, I was trying to talk to everyone, get everyone involved in the Bible study. And he wouldn't participate. And he just brought this bad atmosphere. It was a little difficult when that happens. And I started saying, okay, guys, you know, at the end of the Bible study, we're going to have the evangelistic series happen. And I started showing them the flyer and I was giving it to every person. And then Bob grabs the flyer because I gave it to each person individually. And he looks and he just looks at my bio. And all of a sudden, from him being disinterested, his eyes open wide. And he looks at me and he approaches me and he says, I need to talk to you. And you see, in my biography, I wrote a little bit about where God has taken me out of a life of gang violence and drugs and all these things, that God was able to take someone like me who was a 14-year-old boy out in the streets and make him a Christian and change his life and give him purpose. And you see, Bob had this same kind of experience. He told me, and he said, Sam, I need to talk to you. He told me about his life, 21 years old, and was in the mafia. And he told me about his experience of his life and all the bad things that he went through. And we talked for about 45 minutes. And then he told me something that really shook me. You want to know what it was? You have to wait till the end of the sermon. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Let me tell you why. Before we can go into that, before we answer what happens with Bob, we're going to talk about what are three things we can do to be ready for this series. Three things we can do to be ready for the harvest, okay? And we're going to find these things in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah what? Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Now, Isaiah chapter 6. Now, when we go to Isaiah chapter 6, we find a very interesting story. We find that this was the moment where Isaiah experienced a change in his life. We can say that Isaiah at this moment experienced a conversion. This was Isaiah's conversion experience. And so why don't we look at Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Look what it says. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and what? Lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Now you can imagine, if you were Isaiah at this moment, you're having this vision, and you're seeing the Lord lifted up on his throne, and he's high and lifted up to where his robe fills the whole temple. What a marvelous sight he must have been seeing. And then we see in verse 2, and above it stood seraphims. Each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And so we see that when Isaiah is looking at God being lifted up in the very throne room of God, we see that there were angels that were flying over the throne of God. And look what happens next in verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine how strong these angels must have been? I mean, these angels, just by them speaking, shook the whole building of heaven. And so they're yelling, holy, holy, and holy. You can see this was a marvelous sight for Isaiah. when he's having this vision. And look what happens next. In verse 5, it says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." You know, when Isaiah was looking at God in this very moment, and he saw God high and lifted up, do you know what he began to experience? He began to experience something that he never felt before. Isaiah was the kind of person who was a really good man. He was a prophet. But you know what? It wasn't until this moment that he realized for himself how dirty and unclean he really was. You see, many of us can do the same thing. We can look at ourselves and we can compare ourselves to other people and we can say, I'm better than this person, or I'm a pretty good person, because we compare ourselves to others. But when Isaiah saw himself and he compared himself with God, he realized how unclean and a dirty thing he was. You see, we cannot be safe when we compare ourselves to other people. And that's what many people do. I remember many times when I go door to door, and if you ask a simple question, just saying, do you think you're saved? You know what people say? Oh, I think my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Have you ever heard that? My good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And so people say these kinds of things, and they're putting false assurance, thinking that they are worthy of salvation, when they have no idea that really, we are part of a people that's sin polluted. Our natures are corrupt. And we're all in an infinite need of God. What kind of need? An infinite need of God. You see, God's law demands infinite righteousness, and we're incapable of rendering it. Therefore, we have an infinite debt. And because we have an infinite debt, we have an infinite need of Jesus. Amen? We have an infinite need of Jesus. And this is when Isaiah, when his eyes were open and he began to realize that he was an unclean person. He began to see his defects. And friends, you know what happens when we get close to Jesus? You know what happens when we begin to see how unclean we really are? I like this quotation in the book called Steps to Christ. It says this: the closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. Amen? And it says this: for your vision will be clear, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. This is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power, that the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. And so I'm going to tell you, friends, when you feel that you are unclean, when you feel that you're dirty, and you begin to see your sins, that is evidence that the Holy Ghost is working on you. That is evidence that God is bringing you towards Him. So don't be afraid when that happens. Don't be afraid when your sin is pointed out. Because this is the time where we can confess and forsake. And you know what the Bible says, right? Proverbs chapter 28, it tells us that whoever confesses and forsakes their sin shall have mercy. And you see, that's exactly what Isaiah was going through. You see, we're in a dangerous place when we don't realize our own defects, when we don't realize our own need for God, and we begin to say, yeah, I think I'm okay, because my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. See, you missed the point. If you feel that way, then you're lost, friends. But God says that when I show you your defects, I'm simply trying to show you your need of me. Amen? And let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. So at this moment, we look at Isaiah and he realizes that he sees he has an infinite need of God. And look what happens next. The moment he sees his need, in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my what? My mouth. And so said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. What's so amazing about this? You know, the very place where you feel you may be dirty, the Holy Spirit may convict you in a certain area. It could be your mind that's dirty. You think unclean thoughts. It could be eyes, the things that you see, your tongue, the words that you speak. It could be your hands that are, or your feet that are quick to shed blood, as the Bible says. But you know what's so beautiful about this story? The very place where Isaiah pointed out where he was dirty is the very same place where God can cleanse you. Amen? That live coal can cleanse any part of the body. Anywhere where you feel you may be dirty, know that God can cleanse it. Amen? That live coal came from that altar, and that altar represents the place where Jesus was sacrificed. And so, when we look at this story, Isaiah saw that he had this need for God. He saw his sin, and then he wanted to repent. And as he repented, that coal came and cleansed him to where he was clean in every which way. And look what happens next. Verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here I am. Send who?" Send the pastor. Is that what it says? Does it say send the cross trainer, Sammy Bonilla? No, it says send me. You see, friends, our experience with God should be such that when we realize how much God has done for us and He cleanses us from our sins, we are now motivated with a new motivation, and that is to serve God. Can you say amen? And that's why I love this church so much. Do you believe in evangelism? Yes or no? Yes. You believe in evangelism? Yes. Amen? That tells me that you've experienced God's forgiveness. You see, it's those people who do not believe in evangelism, if they're here in the church, if they don't have a heart for evangelism, it's simply because they're not experiencing the forgiveness of God in their life. And see, we all need to experience this just like Isaiah. And you know, Isaiah wasn't the only one who got to see Jesus high and lifted up. Did you know that, right? Because we get to see today Jesus lifted up. Do you know how we get to see that? In John chapter 12, Jesus says some very interesting words. John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33, it says this, "And I, if I am what? Lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he should die. What death did Jesus die? The death of the cross. And as Jesus was lifted up, all people were drawn to him. And you know, it doesn't say just, it says all peoples. The King James will say all men, but that word men is supplied. In other words, all will be drawn to him. Not just humanity, but even the angels themselves were drawn to Jesus. Everyone will be drawn to Jesus as he is lifted up. Now, why would they be drawn to Jesus when he is lifted up? Christ crucified. Talk it, pray it, sing it, and it will win and break hearts. Amen? That's what we need to do, friends. Talk it, pray it, sing it. When you think about what the lovely Jesus has done for you in your life, what has he done? Think about the missions of Jesus, those beautiful feet of Jesus, who walked endless missions for you and I. Those beautiful feet that got dirty, dusty, those beautiful feet that walked those missions were now nailed to the cross. What about those hands of Jesus that healed the blind, that caused the deaf to hear? You see, those beautiful hands of Jesus were now nailed to the cross. The beautiful eyes of Jesus that looked and saw the good in everyone and the potential of salvation. As Jesus looked at you, he said, "You're my friend, even though you're an enemy," nailing him to the cross. Those beautiful eyes of Jesus were beaten, bloody and blue. And the beautiful brow of Jesus, where a kingly crown should have been, was replaced with a crown of thorns. When we look at the cross and we see what God has done for us, we see the infinite loving God pouring out his own soul so that we can have salvation. Can you say amen to that? And that's why the cross is something that needs to be lifted up. So friends, it's simple. What three things do we need to do to be ready? It's very easy. Number one, you need to love Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? Amen? You're ready for number one. Number two, you need to answer the call. That's all you need to do. You need to answer the call. Just like after Isaiah experienced his conversion experience, after he saw God high and lifted up, what happened in his heart was something different. It was something that drew him to God. He began to love God even more. And then when God said, "Who shall I send?" You know what he said? send me. And he was eager. He didn't say, send an angel. He said, send me. And that's what happens. When we experience the love of Jesus in our life, we begin to answer the call. You know what the third thing is? We need to work together. Amen? We need to work in unity. Now look what it says. You know, let's look at a verse together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it tells us this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You see, you and I, we're not enemies. Can you say amen? So you can work with me, amen? You see, I love this because this verse tells us that Christ has made us friends and that the wall of partition has been broken. See, we need to work together. Look what John 17 says. John 17, verse 21 and 22. It says, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one with us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Do you know how the world will believe? It's not just by the messages we preach. It's by working together. Can you say amen? You see, I can't do it alone, and every single hand working together. And the best way that God is glorified is by when we work together. You see, it finishes off, says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. You see, once we can work together, all these great things can happen. God's glory is when the church works together as one. Can you say amen to that? That's God's glory. That's when He's best glorified, when people put aside their differences and they work together for the very same purpose. And they say, God, I want to serve you with my brothers and sisters. You see, Ephesians tells us that we work all together to the full stature of God. And so that's what we need to do. We need to work together. We're going to look at one more verse. I want to show you a promise. Because friends, I can't do it alone. I may be giving these messages. I've been preparing, putting my whole heart into this. But I can't invite everyone to come. Amen? And I can't do everything. We're going to need to work together. Can you say amen to that? But look what happens when we work together. If you turn your Bible to Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, it tells us a very special promise of the rich reward when we work together. And this message is simple, friends. It's not going to be too long. Proverbs 126, verse 5 and 6, it tells us this. Did I say Proverbs? Excuse me. Psalm. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it says this. Those who sow in tears will what? Shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen? You know those people that you love and you pray so much about, those people that you've prayed and you've shed tears for them. This is the moment where God answers prayers. And we get to work together for the same purpose of kingdom building so that God can restore himself with the people. And so, friends, we're going to work together. Can you say amen to that? And the promise is beautiful. You may have tears, you may struggle, you may invite, and people may not come. But you know what? We're going to be rejoicing together. And we're going to bring our sheaves with them. You see, in heaven, friends, in heaven, there is no such thing as just a church member, but everyone will be a church missionary. Can you say amen? Because we're going to have stars on our crown. And those stars are going to represent the people that we won to Jesus. But you know who won the most souls? When we get to heaven and we get our crowns full of stars of all the people that we won, all of us will cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. Because in reality, He's the true evangelist. Because in reality, He's the true one who invited all people. He's the true soul winner, friends. It's because of Jesus that we can do this work. It's because of Jesus that we can see our loved ones saved. And that's why Jesus is the ultimate evangelist. Amen? So let me go back to that story. That story about Bob. Is that his name? Good. When it came to Bob and his story, I remember as we walked outside, He began crying and he said, I looked at your bio and I have a life similar to you. And he said, you know what, Samuel? I didn't want to be here, and I was actually fighting my friend because I didn't want to be here, but he convinced me to go, and I was angry. And I would have never heard this from I never would have thought I would have heard these words from a 21-year-old. But he began to tell the story about his whole family who was in the mafia. And as he was in the mafia, he began to tell me of all the dirty deeds they would have to do. Selling drugs, and his whole family was in it, and his grandfather was the one who was leading out in all the crimes. And to the point where he said that he was commanded to take the life of his own brother. And he began to tell me as he's crying, he's saying, all these bad things happen. And one day he was severely beaten that he was left in a coma for dead. And so Bob came and he said, you know what, I'm actually here because of a distant relative. And I'm living here in Watsonville because I have this. And I've thought about suicide. I've thought about taking my life. I was even married to a beautiful woman that they introduced me. And they convinced me that we should be divorced. And now we're divorced. I have nothing. I have nothing. He said, the only skills that I know, the only skills that I have for life is to beat up people, to be ruthless, and to be a criminal. I have nothing. He began to tell me his whole life story. And it looked like he had no hope. But I'm glad he came to that Bible study. Because I know someone who has the hope of glory. Amen? And I began to tell Bob, I said, Bob, you know what? I know what you're going through. I can't even imagine myself going through these things. I mean, I came from the streets, but what you've been is on a whole different level. And I began to tell him about the precious Jesus and what he's done for him. And as he heard these words, he began to cry even more. And he began saying, you know, I really want to change my life. I want a better life, but I don't know what I can do. And I began to pray for him. I started sharing him some scriptures just to encourage him. And I said, Bob, I really want you to come to the series that's coming soon. I want you to come. And I remember when the series began, I looked for him the first day. I looked out in the crowd and I didn't see him there. My heart was sad. I looked the second day as I looked for him. He wasn't there. And I began to wonder if he was ever going to come. Then on the third night, he came. And I said, it's so great to see you here. And then he said, I'm going to come to these meetings more. I need this. It was good. I really need this. And I remember the night where I had the baptismal appeal, where I asked people to come forward. And I was extending the call. And I can see he was sitting in the back, in the corner where no one could see him. And I can see him fighting the tears. And the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me and say, you have to continue, Samuel. Keep saying these words that will woo his heart. And all of a sudden, he stands up and he comes forward. He comes to the front, weeping and weeping and saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. And he comes forward. We pray together. And he got baptized. Amen. And friends, I still talk to him. And he's over there. He's still at that church, working hard, working with his friend Adrian that brought him there as well. And I praise God that he's able to change people's lives. You know, it's so funny. The people who knew him and worked with him, at the end of the series, he started smiling. And he wasn't known for smiling, to the point where he said, hey, can you guys get a picture of me and Samuel? And we got together and he started smiling. And everyone pulled out their phones and said, whoa, he's smiling. We should take a picture of him. And it was just so fun to see the change that he started experiencing in his life. But you know, that story doesn't just have to be Bob's story. There's many people here in the community here at Ceres, your friends, your family, that need to have a changing experience as well. They need to have a conversion experience just like Isaiah, just like we do. Can you say amen to that? And so friends, this is why we're doing this work. At this moment, I'm going to ask if the deacons can pass out a little card just very quickly. I want to go through this with you. We need to work together. And so we need to bring the people just like Bob coming here to this series so that they can experience a true life, a change experience for their own lives. And so why don't you go ahead, as we pass these out, I want you to think about how can you participate? How can you win someone for the Lord? How can you change your experience from not just being a church member, but a church missionary here in the Ceres community? in the Modesto community, how can you participate and help people so that they can be a part of the kingdom? You see, Mark 4:29 says, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts forth a sickle, because the harvest has come." The harvest has come, friends. And so as we pass this out, I want you to go ahead and put your name, your number, so we can contact you and see if there's any way that you would like to help. Perhaps you would want to be a tabletop leader. Perhaps you can be a tabletop leader, and that simply means that you're going to be there to just simply connect with people that come to the series, just to talk with them. And I'm going to have a training time as well for those who want to be tabletop leaders, just so you can learn how to connect with people better. It's very simple. Or maybe you want to be a greeter for the series. If you want to be any of those things, go ahead and just check that box. And the next thing is, if you feel a burden for the children, because lots of people come because of the children's program. And so there's power in the children's program, amen? And if you want to help, you want to be hands that help in the children's program, or you want to just let people know that we have a children's program, I want you to go ahead and check that. If you want to help with the children's program. Or maybe you have a great way to prepare meals. And we're going to have in the meeting, the first weekend, Friday and Saturday, we're going to have dinner. But every night after that, we're going to have nightly refreshments. And if you want to help out, we're just feeding the community and providing something. I want you to check that box. If you feel that you want to help out with food, or maybe you want to be a part of that prayer team, and you want to just simply pray, you know, God, just like Pastor Ted said earlier this morning, that it is prayer that moves heaven and earth. Amen. And so we're going to need your prayers, not just before the series, but right now. If you want to just dedicate and you can say, I want to be a part of that prayer team, I want you to go ahead and check that box. The music as well. If you feel that you have something that you want to share, if you have talents in music, I want you to check that box. And we're going to have an outreach today. Amen. And today we're going to be talking about dinner with the doctors, and it's going to be a bridge to help people come to the series as well. If you feel like you want to help and you want to be a part of outreaches and you want to know when they're going to happen, go ahead and put your name and your number and check that box. And last one is one of the most important ones. But you want to say, just like Adrian did, who brought Bob to the series and he got baptized. I want you to check that last one. If you want to dedicate and make sure that you can commit to something like bringing someone to the series. You never know what can happen, friends. Amen? And so you want to go ahead and do that. I want you to check that box. And we're going to ask God to bless this evangelistic series. Are you going to be praying for it? How many of you have been praying for the series? Did you pray today for it? Please continue to pray for me, for everyone working, the pastoral staff, and also pray for yourselves and ask God, who should you bring to this meeting? Let us go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much that you are a God who wants to give us life. And Father, right now we pray that we can help in the work of saving souls, Lord. We know Jesus is the true evangelist, but we pray right now that you would use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you can pass those cards in the middle, the deacons can collect them. Thank you so much. God bless.